Welcome to Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Christ be in my mind and in my thinking. Christ be in my eyes, in everything I see. Christ be in my ears and in my hearing. Christ be in my mouth, in every word I speak.
We pause to consider where some of our stories come from. We'll hear from a few different people in the church. Most of us would have stories, but for the sake of time, we'll hear from a few people about some old Sunday school teachers. So I invite at this time Brother Stephen to come forward to share.
So Pastor Matt asked me to share a few words about my Sunday school background. I grew up in the Church of the Brethren, the Friendship Church of the Brethren outside of Baltimore. But ironically, my family was not Brethren originally. The story goes that after I was born, my parents wanted to go back to church and have me attend Sunday school. And so the Friendship Church of the Brethren was just one block from our house. So that was the one that was closest. So that's how I became Brethren, out of proximity. But once my family started going there when I was a little child, we became fully embraced the Church of the Brethren, and I spent all of my Sundays going to Sunday school through youth group, and by the time I entered youth group, my mom was the teacher, so that's how it worked. But all of the teachers that I had growing up in Sunday school turned out to be very close friends to my family. In a sense, it created a community for them as well as for myself. So Miss Nancy Hopkins, Miss Avis Thompson, Miss Cheryl Burgoon, who lived next door, were all my Sunday school teachers growing up and continue to be close friends of the family to this day. Then by the time I was, leaving to go to college, went to the National Youth Conference, and, that was very much sort of with all the friends I had grown up with going through Sunday school. So a lot of memories, and now, seeing my children go to Sunday school, and then going back to Vacation Bible School at their church, and having the same teachers that I grew up with is very inspirational. Some of my experience growing up going to Sunday school in the Church of the Brethren.
It's difficult to remember back when I went to Sunday school, because that was many, many, many years ago. But I do have three little things. I can't remember any of the teachers, but this little basket says on the back, January the 20th, 1945, happy birthday, Alma Jean Wright, from your Sunday school teacher, Mrs. R.O. Whitmore. And below that, it says, a stitch in time saves time. The other thing I remember, I was probably younger. In the class, there was somebody had made a wooden chair, and when it was your birthday, and I think it had a wooden cake on it actually, you got to sit in that chair. And I've been a member of the Church of the Brethren. I went, that's at the Bridgewater Church of the Brethren, by the way, is where I grew up. And I do remember when I was very small, during the service, I would sit next to this dear little lady. I probably thought she was, I don't know, ancient, but maybe she was only 50. Her name was Nora Roller, and she would take her handkerchief and make it into a little doll as I sat next to her. So I was very young. And then I went through the youth, went to Camp Bethel, and when I grew up, I only thought there were people that went to the Church of the Brethren.
thank you for sharing, Brother Stephen, Sister Alma, and in the beautiful cycle of life, grandchildren one day become grandparents if they're lucky and blessed, and in this case, the old Sunday school student becomes the Sunday school teacher as we continue to pass it on.
When I received an email from Pastor Matt about 2 weeks ago asking, at least this email was asking Alma and myself to say something about our remembrances of Sunday school as a child, I almost froze. Are you kidding me, Matt? I thought. I had to write back and say, I hate to admit it, but I have no specific memories of Sunday school at that point in my life. But then I went on. I would be glad, though, to share something about my Sunday school experiences as an adult now. He said, let me think about that. But then, I think, he got back to me with an affirmative.
Good. Yeah.
So.
We're good.
But I do want to say, while I don't remember anything specific, 7 of my years as a child were spent in Nigeria, where my parents were missionaries. And I know we had Sunday school when I was at boarding school, but also there at home. I just don't remember anything about it. But what I do want to say is I'm sure all of my experiences were basically very positive, enough so that I have wanted to continue with learning within that setting, even to the present. I do recall that during my years at Bridgewater College, I attended Sunday school and worship regularly at the Bridgewater Church, which at that time was just at the edge of the college campus. I have no idea what we studied or how much I verbally participated, but I do recall that it was a place I felt welcome, a place of refuge almost. And then here at Arlington, I've been part of the adult Sunday school class for most of my years here, which is quite a few. I don't remember at what point the present Sunday school class was formed to give adults an option to the more traditional Guide to Biblical Studies, but we've been at it now for quite a long time. Now we're back down to one adult class, but I believe it continues to thrive because it meets a need for continued learning, for sharing, for community within the larger community within our congregation. Within the last couple of years, for our weekly study, we've used books of reassurance, such as Unafraid by Adam Hamilton, books of challenge, such as America's Original Sin, Racism by Jim Wallace. And then there have been books of insight, such as Making Sense of the Bible by Adam Hamilton and Grateful by Diane Butler Bass. Often we are left with more questions than answers as we read and explore these books and many others. But several things are certainties. There will be some hearty laughter, especially if Robin Reels is present that Sunday. There will be sharing, and there may even be some learning that takes place. But I hope, if nothing else, that all of the participants feel that it is a safe place to share our personal journeys, to feel supported in those journeys. I am so very grateful to be on the journey of learning with those who choose to be a part of this class. And as a P.S., I'm excited that we'll be using or starting to use a book by Rachel Held Evans called Inspired, and sort of subtitle, Slaying Giants, Walking on Water, and Loving the Bible Again. She was not on my radar until she died at a young age this spring and then was mentioned then by Pastor Matt during worship. And I invite anyone who has not been attending Sunday school class but who might like a bit of inspiration, challenge, or fellowship on Sunday mornings at 9:45 to try us out. You're not making a lifelong commitment by slipping in on any Sunday morning.
I grew up in the Elkhart City Church of the Brethren, now Crookside, and it had my grandmother on my dad's side had attended there with the family almost, I think, since the beginning of the church back in the late 1890s. My grandma was 79 when I was born. So, my Sunday school was always a very important part of my life and experience at the church. Both of my parents worked, so oftentimes we did not actually attend the church service. But my father always made sure that I was able to go to Sunday school every Sunday, and it was an experience that I especially enjoyed. And the best Sunday school teachers that I had was at high school. They were a husband and wife team, Garnet and Hal Heater. They were both teachers themselves, and we had a wonderful youth group, and also the Elkhart City Church of the Brethren, you know, we had a large number of youth. And the one thing that I remember most about, that I really enjoyed about their classes, was that this is again in the late 60s, so that they brought a lot of the social justice issues into the study of the Bible and correlating that. And that was something that I thought was, you know, very important, because I, you know, had always liked politics, and to sort of, you know, from a very early age, you know, I mean, you know, we're talking, you know, 8 years old. So that, you know, I thought this was very relevant. And also the other thing that the Heaters brought was, you know, they were both Manchester graduates. Hal Heater's father was also a Manchester graduate, so we spoke a lot about Manchester, and that, you know, not only did I go to Manchester, but I, you know, Debbie Molnickel, in our class, there was Debbie Molnickel, Susan Buchanan, Connie West, Nancy Hostetler, Gary Arnold, and we all were, you know, graduated the same year and all attended Manchester. So, you know, I credit him and Garnet for my going to Manchester. Also, they've remained, you know, important in my life. They were always there when my grandmother died. They were there when my father died. They were there the many times that my mother was in the hospital and had long stays. And that although Mr. Heater had died of leukemia several years ago, I remain, you know, in contact with Garnet, and I always, you know, I visit her when I go home and stuff, and she's still, you know, an important part of my life, and also even, you know, remembers me. I still get, like, birthday cards from her and stuff, and often cat cards, because, you know, I like cats. So, again, Sunday school has always been very important, and I'm, you know, grateful for my experience.
Well, my dad was a Brethren pastor, and he, quote, retired from pastoring a Brethren church when I was 13, and he took a job as a chaplain, the head chaplain of the Elgin Mental Health Center. And so for my junior high and high school church experience, my family drove 45 minutes one way. There's not as many Brethren churches in the Midwest as out here. And we drove 45 minutes one way to attend the Highland Avenue Church of the Brethren. And this is where I have my memories of Sunday school. At the time, I was just happy some of my camp friends went there. I didn't appreciate what this all meant at the time. Now, as an adult, I am a Brethren pastor, and I attend annual conference, and an interesting thing has happened. When I go to annual conference and I look up on the stage, I don't see strangers who have important jobs as denominational leaders. I see friends that I've done church with that have been close family friends. And practically, as it relates to this morning, in many cases, I see my old Sunday school teachers. In Sunday school, I grew to feel like I belonged. And then I go to annual conference and I see on stage the people who made me feel like I belonged. And I'm reminded, I belong in the Church of the Brethren. This is my home. This is, dare I say, my family. I had a fabulous Sunday school experience at the time, but it's, in a way, it's been my relationships with these teachers as I've aged that's made all the difference to me. I'm still friends with all of them today. These are relationships I've maintained and enjoy still. And that's part of my story. The beautiful part about the Church of the Brethren is it's not necessarily unique. If you've been raised in this denomination like I have and kind of plugged into the larger life, and you can certainly be a member here and do neither of those things. But my story is not uniquely mine. Many people have these stories of these great personalities who they connect with, who made them belong and are influential to others. There's a lot of imagery in our hymns this morning of rivers and trees. An interesting thing about trees is their root system goes down and they network with other root systems. That trees kind of sustain and live and stay healthy in part from the sustenance of their network of roots with other trees. And I have a practical and brethren example of this. If you're wondering, well, I wasn't raised in the Church of the Brethren, I don't have a fancy brethren story, I will give you one this morning. Here is one now that you will be able to tell. There's likely hundreds of these stories floating around the room. Here is one. Your former pastor, Nancy Fitzgerald, used to be an associate pastor at the Manassas Church of the Brethren, where she learned a great deal of her ministry skills, or at least applied and refined them with the lead pastor, one Jeff Carter, who even before I came out here to be pastor here, became the president of Bethany Seminary, where I do my studies. In this way, our networks were already interconnected. You were being formed by someone who had a connection with someone who was helping form me, even before my time here. This is the beauty of brethren faith, but also the beauty of faith, the beauty of life. We are all interconnected. I think one of the great surprises for me as pastoring at my last church, there was a lot of, a fair percentage of 80 and 90 year olds. And it surprised me at first when they would tell stories to me about their grandparents. Turns out there is no age limit on remembering fondly those who gave you love and acceptance. And so to you with children or grandchildren in the room, consider this, that when they are 80 and 90, if they're blessed enough to get there, will be remembering you and telling stories to their children or grandchildren or friends or loved ones. In this way, our stories go back millennia and continue on. And so here we are standing in the middle, and the call and the message this morning is clear. If you have been lucky enough in life to feel acceptance, to feel belonging, if someone at some point in their life opened up their heart and arms to you and accepted you into God's family, here's the message: pass it on. Be the person who then opens up your arms, opens up your hands, your house, your life. Pass it on. Offer acceptance and belonging to others. That is the call. That is the life. That is what we do as Christians. We want a seat at the table for ourselves. But once there, don't hog it. Once you have a seat at the table, once you have a presence in the room, help others pull up a chair and be seated as well. That is the call of our faith. And I'd be remiss this morning if I didn't remind us that while everyone needs to feel that sense of belonging, some people are intentionally pushed out the door or made to feel unwelcome. And so hear the call of God in our lives to especially reach out to those which church or society or systems too easily push to the margins. Let us offer belonging especially to the kids who have some physical or developmental trait which singles them out, marks them as different or weird from the rest. Let us offer belonging especially to the kids who never quite figured out who to sit with during lunch, and sometimes the way that follows a person through life. To the adults who never learned to walk to the beat of the rest of the group. To the weirdos and the poets, we offer belonging. To the people who don't fit into neat boxes of gender. to the LGBTQ plus, to all people of all colors, to refugees and immigrants of any documentation status, offer belonging and acceptance in God's peace to those with mental illness, to those with physical disabilities, to those with developmentally or sensory special needs, to anyone I have left off the list quite accidentally, a list too long for one service, to the children of our church and of Bethel's and all children everywhere, to the adults we've known for decades and those we've just met today or this year, to all, we offer belonging. We pass it on. We offer God's very love. We can say together, amen.
Christ be in my mind and in my thinking. Christ be in my eyes and everything I see. Christ be in my ears and in my hearing. Christ be in my mouth, in every word I speak. Christ be in my heart and in my life.